Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
So, this football coach, college football coach in Texas, was talking to a brand new assistant coach who was on the recruiting trail, his first recruiting trip. He said, "Bubba, when you go out there, you're going to find that young man that gets knocked down and he gets back up." Bubba said, "That's the guy we want, right, coach?" He said, "That is not the guy we want, Bubba." He said, "Bubba, you're going to find the young man, though, he gets knocked down and he gets back up and he gets knocked down and he gets back up." Bubba said, "That's the one." He said, "No, Bubba, that's not the one." He said, "Bubba, you will find that young man that gets knocked down and he gets back up and he gets knocked down and he gets back up and he gets knocked down again and he gets back up." Bubba said, "That's the one we want, coach." And the coach said, "No, Bubba, that's not the one we want. We want the guy that's knocking everybody down." This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about getting back up and knocking them back down. I want to talk about life strong, getting stronger. One of our goals here at the church is that three of our goals: you live for God, you grow stronger, and that you're able to make a difference in your world. And really, when you think about it, when you are stronger is when you are qualified and able to make a difference. So let's talk a little bit about that. Strength. Everybody needs it. And I'm not necessarily talking about muscular strength. I'm talking about the inner strength, strength for life. You know, you need strength if you're going to take risks. It takes a level of strength to actually start a relationship, maybe to move out of a comfort zone, start a business, to change your career, to take a step that's different for you. It takes strength. I laugh because I grew up in the day where you couldn't text a girl to ask her out, or you couldn't send her, you couldn't slip into her DMs. You had to, you actually had to call her on the phone. And trust me, that takes some strength to do that. Your voice is all cracking. "Hello." I'll be hello. And I realized, Google it. It actually used to happen. You actually had to ask a girl out in person. And it took some strength. But it's risk. Everything involves risk. It takes strength to resist, to say no to some things, to be disciplined in life and to resist and do the things that we know to do. I mean, some of you are going to not feel like getting up tomorrow and going to work, but you know it's the best thing for you to do. And so you do. But that takes strength to resist lying in bed and saying, "I'm done for the day." They did a study a number of years ago, it wasn't that long ago, 2017, where they took three groups of college students, and these were all math students, and everyone had to skip a meal, so they all would be hungry. They skipped a meal, and what they would do is, the first group, they put them at a table with fresh baked chocolate chip cookies and candy and radishes, and they told them, "Eat whatever you want." Well, they ate the cookies and the candy, skipped the radishes. Second group, same type of deal, skip a meal, sat them at a table, fresh baked chocolate chip cookies, candy, radishes, but they told this group, "You have to skip the cookies. You cannot eat any of the cookies or candy. You can only eat the radishes." Third group sat them at a table, skipped a meal. There was nothing on the table. And then they gave each group a geometry problem. And in this geometry problem, it was considered unsolvable. They didn't want them to solve it. They wanted to see how long they would work at it before they gave up. The group that ate the cookies and the group that had no food worked at it for 20 minutes. The group that ate radishes averaged 8 minutes working on the problem before they gave up. And here's what they determined. Cookies are good for your math skills. No, that's not it. What they determined actually was that group two, who had to say no to the candy and the cookies, they used up a lot of their strength on saying no, and they didn't have the strength to work on the math problem. So it takes strength to resist. It takes strength to do the things we know we need to do. It takes strength to recovery, to recover. Maybe you've had a setback. It could be a relational setback. It could be a business setback, something with a child. It takes strength to be able to recover from that. And so this morning, I want to talk about strength. Because oftentimes when you talk about strength, there's some of you sitting here right now, you're watching online and you're thinking, this message is not for me. I'm just not a strong person. Well, we're not talking about strength of personality. What we're talking about is an inward strength. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a strength available to you that goes beyond your personality. And it goes beyond just your natural ability or how you grew up. Paul talked about it when he wrote to the Philippian church. I want you to see what he writes here. You're going to recognize this Philippians 4:13, but look at Philippians 4:11 and 12. Paul said, he's writing to the church, he said, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, how many of you have ever heard, or maybe you quoted that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a great verse. You know, that's athlete's favorite verse. I can do all things. My dad, who was a type A driver personality, the very first Bible verse he ever had me learn was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's nothing wrong with that, except what Paul was talking about was not necessarily achievement. What Paul was talking about was, he said, I've learned to deal with all of life's ups and downs. He said, I've learned when I don't have enough. I've learned to have plenty. I've learned that when I'm hungry, I've learned when I'm full. He said, basically, I am unmoved by the circumstances around me. I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what it does is, it's not so much, he's not strengthening us to achieve. If you want to use that, if you're an athlete and you want to use that, go ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're not an athlete and you're just dealing with life, you can use that verse that he will strengthen you to deal with the ups and downs of life. I was, a number of years ago, I tried to start, many of you know my story. Joy and I tried to start, well, it was me, my fault. We tried to start a church in my hometown in 1989. And in 90, and it didn't work. 1989, we tried, and we shut it down. My first church was pretty much an abject failure. And so we were coming back to Texas in 1990, and I remember I came back to Texas. Joy and I didn't have hardly any money. We had barely enough money to move. And I took a job of straight commission sales, which means no sale, no eat. And we had just a little bit of a draw they would give us. We bought a house, and so I bought a house from a relative, assumed a mortgage, so now we're going to have a mortgage payment. I had to go sell something, and man, I'm feeling the pressure. And I'm on a plane flying back to North Carolina to get ready to move my whole family down, and I'm feeling it. I'm sure I'm not thought, you ever just felt it in life, or just feel like life is just on you? And I remember I got my Bible out, and I was on the plane. I got my Bible out and I turned to Philippians 4:13. I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't mean I heard a voice. I didn't have a flaming scroll and an angel didn't speak to me. I just mean in my heart, I knew what the Lord was saying. He said, you don't need less pressure. You need more strength. And if you think about it, life is just going to have pressure. If you have a job, if you have a family, if you have a relationship, there's going to be pressure there. We can't get to the place, well, we will get to a place one day where there's no pressure. You know what that is, don't you? Heaven. It's heaven. Yes, that's exactly right. And I don't know about you, I'm not ready to go yet. And so until then, we're dealing with here. I heard someone say, man, I just can't wait till I get to the sweet by and by. But right now, like my pastor used to say, we're living in the nasty now and now. And so we have to deal with stuff here and now. And this is what the strength is for. Not just for when we get to heaven. We need it now. But God can strengthen us now. And if you're a believer, you have access to strength you maybe not have even known about. But it's real. God can strengthen us. Let me give you a story this morning about one of my favorite characters in the Bible. His name is David. David is well known for being a warrior, giant killer, bear killer, lion killer, warrior. He's and poet and prophet and king and leader. Amazing guy. And David was strong. David felt the pain of loss as well. And it's what he did after that we need to learn from. He and his men had been traveling, had 600 men. He was not king yet. They're coming back into a town of Ziklag. And a problem fact, a devastating day it happened. Let's look and see what happens here. It happened when David and his men, about 600 men, came to Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites, that's a roving band, had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Noam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David had a devastating day. He came back to the city. I'm sure they could see the smoke rising from the city. And not only was their stuff looted, but then what they didn't steal, they burned. So everything was burned when they came back. The whole town was burned down. I don't know about you, but I was touched by what happened in California with all those people. I mean, you couldn't look at those pictures of devastation. And I know Texans and Californians don't like each other. But the bottom line is, those are still people, and they were hurting. And there were just ashes and chimneys and just devastation. You couldn't help but feel for those people. That's devastation. That's what David faced. But not only that, then his wives and his children were kidnapped. Now, we can understand that from what happened last year in Israel when Hamas came and killed 1,200 civilian Israelis and then took, I think, what, 240, 250 captive. And the idea of, and some of them are still captives. I hope you join me in praying, that Joy and I pray every week that God would release those captives would come home. Because you can imagine, can you imagine this, the mental anguish of just, yeah, your child's alive, they're kidnapped, but what are they doing to your daughter? What are they doing to your son? What are they doing to your wives? What are they doing? That had to be a horrible thing. Just a horrible. And so David now has that mental anguish, and all the men around him have the mental anguish, but David's day's not over yet. Now he's got men who were used to be his followers, and the men he's led, they're turning on him and wanting to kill him. It's a mutiny. That's more than enough that most people can handle in a year, much less a day. And I love the next verse where it said, and David and his men wept until they had no more power to weep. I think it's very important that you understand that even the strong feel pain. Even people that you think are so amazing and so strong and never have problems, you have no idea what's going on in their life. And you have no idea the pain that they deal with. I think that's why the Bible tells us not to judge, because we don't know. But here's David, and he's weeping till he just can't weep anymore. He's out. And then he's distressed. He's under pressure because the men are talking about stoning him. That's an Old Testament way of capital punishment, where they would actually just pick up rocks and hit you with rocks until you're dead. Horrible way to die. So David's got all that going on. It said, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, I look at that story and I read, I don't know if I could have done what David did. But we can learn what David did and we can apply it to our lives. You see, we know this. David did not blame God, because you can't blame God and get strength from him at the same time. We also know that David could not have focused on the magnitude of the problem, because you can't think about how big the problem is and get strength at the same time. Here's what we know. Here's what we believe that David did. That David believed that God was bigger and better and greater and stronger than the problem. And that God was good. And that God would be good to him and help him. So how would you know this? Because the book of Psalms gives us such a great picture of how David deals with problems and expresses his heart to the Lord. So I just imagine David just got alone and got by himself, and he began to remind himself, God, you are bigger, you are greater, you have kept me from the hand of the giant, you've kept me from a lion and a bear, you've protected me from Saul. God, you've got an answer for this. God, you can help me in this. And David began to find strength. He tapped into a strength from God. You say, well, how do you know he got stronger? We see it in his next prayer. When David's praying now, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue. So the Lord answered him, you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, or those stayed who were left behind. There were 200 guys that were so tired, they dropped out. But David prayed, Lord, should I go after them? And so you see an aggressiveness even in his prayer. He's not praying, God, what should I do? He's praying, God, I'm going to go after them. God, do you want me to go get them? And he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, get them. Go. You'll recover all. Wonderful story. Wonderful principle. How can we apply it to our lives? What's the process of growing stronger? This isn't all-encompassing, but let me give you a few ideas that will help you. Here's the first one. Whatever you focus on and talk about becomes bigger. Whatever you focus on, whatever you talk about, become bigger. How many of you have ever done vehicle shopping? You've shopped for vehicles. How many of you, when you shop for vehicles, you were amazed at how many of those vehicles you saw out in the wild? You're like, oh my gosh, you're looking for a truck. You're like, they're everywhere. They've been everywhere. But this first time you focused on them, and when you focused on them, you became aware of them. What we focus on and what we talk about becomes bigger to us. Now here's the challenge. A lot of times we're focused on what we can't do, what we don't have, and what we don't know. And so we talk about that. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I can't. I can't do this. Or we talk a lot about how weak we are, how we've messed up. Have you ever played the shouldas? I should have done this. I should have done that. I should have invested in Apple. Oh, I had a chance to buy Microsoft. Should have bought Microsoft 1981. Didn't do it. And so, but let me, can I just tell you, the more you talk about what you should have done, you didn't do, and all your mistakes and failures, it doesn't make the problem go away. It makes it bigger. Say, well, have you ever done that? Huh? Are you kidding? We've just done it. This has been a hard month for my wife, Joy. She lost her mom. Well, didn't lose her mom. Her mom passed away. She was 95. Went to heaven a few weeks ago. And so you feel the loss, and then you feel all the details. Boy, after someone goes, there's just a massive amount of stuff and details. And then she gets a surgery. And so I was listening to her talk, and I finally said, honey, I'm listening to you talk. You're talking so much problem. And she called herself. She said, you're right. You're right. And we realized, I can't keep talking problems and can't keep talking impossibilities. That's not helping me get stronger. In Romans 8:6, it says to be carnally minded or fleshly minded or just only concerned with what I can see and feel and touch and relate to is death or separation. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You say, well, great. How am I spiritually minded? Well, we need to shift our focus to God. That's the second thing. Shift the focus to God. So I can't see God. So how am I going to shift my focus to Him? Well, that's a good question. But that's why we have His Word. That's why in here we have His thoughts. This is the Bible. We have His thoughts. We have His Word. And we have David's words, and we begin to see what other people have done. And I love the Psalms. I've been reading the Psalms a lot, and I'm almost twice done this year. And what I keep seeing in the Psalms is David expressing himself. So let me show you what a focus on God. Here's what you're saying. Remember, what you talk about and what you focus on gets bigger. So here's a great thing to say. Blessed be the Lord because He has heard the voice of my supplication. That's my prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise Him. Leave that up just for a second. Say, okay, well that's great. That's a nice psalm. No. This is more than just a nice psalm. This is how we begin to shift our focus. So now I begin to say, Lord, I want to praise You because You have heard my prayers. See, instead of going, God, are you hearing me? You're going, thank you, Lord, that you hear my prayers. The Lord is my strength and my shield. He is my protection. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, I will greatly rejoice, and with my song, I will praise him. Actually, that word praise is thank him. So what you're doing is you're beginning to talk and beginning to put God in your talk. Remember, what you talk about, what you focus on, gets bigger. We say, well, you can't make God any bigger. Yeah, you can. You can make him bigger to you, because the more you talk about him, the more you focus on him, that he is helping you, he is strong, he is your shield, he's your protection, he's your strength. You can do this. The more you talk like that, the more you talk like that, the more your focus shifts to him. You say, well, Alan, that's not how normal people talk. You're right. I'm not talking normal. I'm talking, that's how strong people talk. This is how we shift over and strong. We can begin to say that. A guy in, a number of years ago went through a horrible divorce. His name was Mauricio Estrada. He sat down at his computer and his work, and a notification came up. Your password has expired. You got to change your password. It just irritated him. He was already brutal, emotional divorce. He was already just depressed. But he made a decision. He said, I'm going to change my password, and I'm going to change my life. Which is kind of like, really? But he changed his password to forgive at her. Forgive her. So every time he left for a break, when he came back, he had to type, forgive her. Every morning he had to type, forgive her. Every time he took a lunch, he had to type, forgive her. He said over 30 days, it became his mantra. Forgive her, forgive her. And because he was focusing on forgive her, he was able to reconcile that what had happened, it happened. And instead of coming into more depression, he was able to move his way out of depression. Why? Because his focus shifted from what she had done, and this is horrible, to I'm going to forgive her, and it's going to be better. If he could do that with a password, we can do that with God's word. And we can take his word and begin to put it in our mouth. And we can begin to say, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I praise you. You're my strength. You're helping me. You're the strength of my family. You're the strength of my marriage. You're the strength of my life. You're helping me in my business. You are my strength and shield, and I greatly rejoice in you. Shifting your focus. Here's one more thing. The more you praise God and the more you thank him, the stronger your focus becomes and the stronger your faith becomes. People say, I just need strong faith. I'm going to give you a hack for that. This is a spiritual hack for stronger faith. Look here, what happened to Abraham. He said he did not waver. That word waver means to separate from the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. People say, I just don't know that I have enough faith. Let me help you with that. Instead of wondering if you have enough faith or talking about you don't have enough faith, what if you started thanking God for things you hadn't even seen yet? Thank you, Lord, that you're helping me. We say, well, Alan, I haven't seen his help. That's exactly what faith is for. If you saw it, you wouldn't need faith for it. And so you just begin to go, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your strength. Thank you, you're making me strong. Thank you, I can do this. What are you doing? As you're praising him, it's like strengthening your grip on God and his promises. You begin to get a hold of what he's saying. And so people say, well, how do I do it? You can listen to a message. You can read your Bible. Then you go out and your day just lands on you. And you think, man, it just feels like God's a million miles away. He's not. He's still there with you. But what can happen is we shift our focus from all the stuff going on around us. Just take time to stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. On your way home, you can go, Lord, thank you. This was quite a day, but you're with me and you're helping me. I'm going to make it. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strength, it's available for everyone, not just preachers, not just Old Testament Bible heroes. It's available because God is our light and our salvation. And like David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Amen. A number of years ago, well, it wasn't too long ago actually, a man named Jim Davidson and his friend Mike Price were hiking on Mount Rainier, and they were crossing a snow bridge, and the bridge collapsed, and they both fell 80 feet into a glacier crevasse. They landed on a 2-foot ledge. The fall killed Mike Price. Jim Davidson was alive when he landed there. He was beaten, he was bruised. His friend has died. And he's looking at an 80-foot sheer wall of ice. And he began to think, I'll never get out of here. He said, but then his father's words began to come back to him. Jim Davidson had a father who, from the time that Jim was very young, expressed an unusual amount of confidence in Jim. And when Jim was 12 years old, his dad had him painting real steep roofs and electrical towers. Terrified his mother. But his dad just kept expressing that if Jim would just pursue, if Jim would just push through adversity, he could accomplish anything. And Jim Davidson said, when he's sitting there in the darkness, looking at that 80-foot wall, his dad's words of confidence begin to come back to him. And he began to climb. He said his dad's words, just the whole time he was climbing, what his dad had said about him, what his dad had said about him, continued to come back to him. And 5 hours later, he climbed out of an 80-foot crevasse and was able to even to retrieve the body, with some help, retrieve the body of his friend. His father's words. His father's words. His father's words were powerful. And so are your father's words to you. That you could begin to take his words and begin to put them into your life. Begin to speak them out of your mouth. Lord, thank you that you're my strength. You're my shield. That I'm strong in you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Life's going to happen. Life comes. It surprises us at times. But we don't have to crater. We don't have to fall. We may weep, but we can get back up again. We can look at life and go, thank you, Lord. With your words, I'm going to keep climbing. With your words, I'm going to keep going. With your words, I'm stronger than the circumstances around me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, Amen, who strengthens me. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking around. If you came this morning, and maybe you're here, maybe you're a guest, or you're watching online, you say, you know what, I don't know where I stand with the Lord. I think I was saved, or maybe you never have been, never made Jesus the Lord of your life. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe you're like I was. I had received Jesus as my Lord, and I just got so far away from him. I knew it. He knew it. But I wanted to come back, and maybe that's you this morning. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come to the front if you're online. Obviously, this prayer is still for you. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I am going to ask you one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you say, Alan, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be, or I need to come back, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick just across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, obviously, if you're online, I can't see you. But if you didn't lift your hand and you're thinking, I need this. I want to get in on this. You can do that. God sees hands. He sees hearts. We're going to pray this prayer with you. Now, we're going to pray it with you as a church family. You pray it with us. If you're online, you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But pray this prayer. It's a powerful prayer. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now the heads are still bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for those who responded to you. Thank you, Lord. You will help them, strengthen them. You've brought some out of darkness into the spiritual light, and some are brought back home, and we're rejoicing with them. And Father, for the rest of us, those of us that know you, those of us who've walked with you, thank you that strength is available. They don't have to give up. They don't have to quit. They don't have to give in. That you will strengthen them and be there for them as their shield and their protection. Thank you that you're our helper, and we look to you. We give you all the praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.